Amen. I'll ask you to remain standing
as we turn to our text for this morning, which is found in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35, as we continue in our series, That You May Be One. Jesus is sharing the farewell discourse with the disciples, and therefore sharing his final words with the church. After having looked at Judas and his betrayal, we now turn our attention to the new commandment which Jesus gives to the disciples. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Lord Jesus, as we hear your word, as we hear your instruction to your church to love, to be your disciples, we pray, Lord, that we might be found faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Dr. Mike Adams was a hardened atheist criminology professor who read his way back to the faith his mother had taught him after he spent one morning in an Ecuadorian prison in 1996. Once recommitted to the faith he'd become convinced was true, he became an outspoken voice for conservative Christian ideals. For years, he wrote a column at townhall.com, where he lambasted political correctness on campus and offered shrewdly perceptive and often entertaining commentary about life and how to live, while also continuing to teach in what would become an increasingly hostile environment. In December 2005, Dr. Adams told his readers that he'd been thinking about cutting back on the writing. But then he received an email that caused him to change his mind. The subject line of the email read, "Die in place." It was from a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who wrote the following. "Years ago, while in training as a Marine officer, I first heard the expression, die in place. The phrase was used as a teaching point to understand the concept of mission type orders. This concept directs that simple and concise orders be provided to substantiate without dictating the minutiae of how to accomplish the assigned mission. A Marine given mission type orders must, 1, assess the situation, 2, identify his tasks, and 3, develop an operational concept designed to accomplish his mission. Simply put, a Marine given die in place orders understands the gravity of the situation as follows. He occupies the key terrain of his unit's position. There may be no withdrawal or retreat. There are no alternate or supplementary positions. There will be no attachments or reinforcements. The position must be held. Finally, failure to do so will result in the literal destruction of all friendly forces and the ability to successfully conclude the conflict. In other words, death is preferable to the resulting loss of Marine Corps honor, culture, and prestige if he fails. While Dr. Adams had never served in the military, the Marine officer's point was that his service in academia was comparable to military service in academia's war of ideas. As a seemingly lone voice in the academic wilderness, Dr. Adams was himself holding key terrain. The Marine officer went on to write, quote, "Perhaps I have stated the obvious to you, but what you are doing is that important to our educational system. And as I write the following, it is meant with all due respect and sincerity." And he signed the email, "Die in place." Die in place is not just a strategic model for military communities. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that dying in place is a cohesive model for the church. In the end, soldiers die in place not out of necessity for the mission, not out of duty to their commander, but because they love. They love their country. They love their fellow soldiers. They love the Marine Corps. Love holds it all together. And they die in place. We cannot understand love without sacrifice. That's really the essence of what Jesus is teaching us in our text for this morning. Only sacrificial love will hold a people together. Only sacrificial love will hold a community together. Dying in place through sacrificial love is a principle of communal cohesion. If you know a little bit about chemistry, you know that water molecules are cohesive. They are held together quite tightly by two covalent bonds as they share the hydrogen molecules that surround the oxygen. It's a very tight bond. Well, in the church, there are no covalent bonds. There are covenantal bonds. Established in water, established in blood. Blood is thicker than water, and it powerfully holds us together. Christ died in place and gave his blood so that we might be one. After the Passover meal, Jesus begins his farewell discourse. He tells the disciples that the time of his glory has come. It is time for the cross. The first instruction he gives in the discourse is a new commandment: love one another. The disciples knew something about love. As Jews, they prayed regularly the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is issuing a new command that expands and furthers and builds upon and intensifies the old. Jesus moves love closer, more proximate. Love goes from neighbor, who is out there, to one another, to those who are in here. This is a commandment to love as Jesus loved. Jesus loved by serving, yes, by washing his disciples' feet. But now Jesus will soon love by sacrificing, giving his life on the cross, pouring out his blood to create the bonds of love. Peter's love, on the other hand, fails. It breaks. He thinks that he has sacrificial love. Lord, where are you going? Why can't I follow you now? I'm willing to die for you. But his love doesn't hold up. At the moment of trial, when Peter meets the great inflection point of his life, he abandons Jesus. He flees. We see that Peter actually has a greater love for himself than for Jesus and for his disciples. Peter's love does not hold. The fellowship breaks. He does not sacrifice. Peter loves himself, and he finds himself alone. Now we must all face this moment. All of us are invited to this inflection point to find out, will my love hold? Will I die in place? Or will I flee? It is impossible to die in place without love. But it is possible to die in place with the wrong kind of love. Let me give you an example. Terrorists are lovers who die in place in order to destabilize a community. Terrorists love. They love themselves, along with the ideology that they hold so dear, along with the lie that they've come to believe is true, along with the vision of the way things should be, that they have become united to and has become a part of themselves, indistinguishable from themselves. Terrorists love themselves and what they stand for. And they love it so much that they are willing to die and to disintegrate entire communities in order to achieve their goals. We just passed the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. We saw the destruction. We saw the disintegration. And we ask ourselves, even today, 22 years later, what possesses someone to do that? Love is a very powerful motivator. But it's the wrong kind of love. Children behave under the same principle. Children are sinners who love themselves so much that they are willing to die in place in order to get what they want. Have you ever watched a child throw themselves on the floor and have a fit, unwilling to move because of what they want? Will, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. consumers, employees, volunteers, can all be the same, insisting on their own way, loving their own way. The consumer, the customer is always right, dying in place to get what they want as they negotiate, as they bargain, as they issue ultimatums. Everyone seems to be going on strike these days. California, Detroit. But Christ died to make a community. Christian love carries the same kind of intensity as a disordered love, but it is rightly ordered. Christian love is not directed toward the self, but toward God and toward one another. Christian love is not terrorist, but it is scandalous. When you love one another, you create a community. Bonds are formed. Communities are shaped. You grow with folks who are with you. And there are folks who are then in, and there are folks who are out. And that's a scandal. Why should anybody be out? Why should there ever be an in? Can't we all just be in? Love forms a particular group, and that creates the scandal of particularity. And it's always been a scandal in the church. It's always been a scandal because the scriptures teach it as true. And why so many have struggled over the years with the doctrine of election, that God would call some to himself. It's a scandal to our sensibilities, these particular communities, these particular people, these Jews, these Christians. But these communities are not elite. They're scandalous, but they're made up of all kinds of people. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, men and women. Those who have and those who do not. And they are made members. Members of Christ and members of one another. The church is a community that loves one another. And it's scandalous. But it also becomes a witness. A witness to the unbelieving world. See how they love one another. Therefore, it creates the opportunity for invitation. Come on in. Join us. Share in this love with us. Loving to death means being on mission. Our mission responsibility is to love one another, to serve one another, to suffer for one another, to sacrifice for one another, to die in place. For one another. Such a mission strategy converted the Greco-Roman world when the ancient world was killing each other. When the ancient world was dying from plague, the church was seen loving one another. And the world saw it and wanted in. And this kind of love, it is a powerful witness to the unbeliever. It is a witness to the gospel that you and that me, we were out because we were in sin. Christ gave his blood in order that we might be invited in. It's powerful. And that's why unity in the body is always so heavily targeted by the evil one. That's why developing unity is so radically opposed by sin. That's why dying in place is so strongly resisted by the corrupt flesh. When there is infighting, there's no unity. No community, no invitation. Whenever there's unity, you can always expect an attack. Negative world, as you've heard me describe it over the last number of months, negative world has revealed the love of self in ways that we have not seen for a long time. Negative world, people are working harder than ever to preserve themselves, to preserve their way of life, to preserve their comforts and the mounting challenges that we face. But negative world is also creating unique opportunities to die in place and to show the world how to love God, to show the world how to love one another, to show the world how to be faithful. Jesus died in place. And the cross is the best way to die in place. The cross is the best way to die together, because the cross pins you down. We don't want to do it. We're invited into it. It's not natural to us. Christ calls us in to follow after him, and he pins us down. The default setting of the world is to abandon our post. The default setting of the world is to leave rather than die in place. Adam abandoned his post in the garden. He failed to guard it and to protect it and to protect his wife. He didn't die in place. Eden was lost. And people have been deserting their posts ever since. Peter abandoned his post. And so more than ever, we need the cross. We need the nails to pin us down and keep us in place and to die to self so that we might live to Christ. Live for one another. Love one another. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we see the cross. And there at the cross, we see your love as you died in place. It was critical that you hold that ground in order that we might be saved, in order that we might enter into that same death and also the same resurrection, in order that we might enter into the same love that you showed to us, that we might show to one another. There's no way around the cross. Help us to die in place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.